afternoon. This is the professor, Dr. Ron Daniels, president of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century, and distinguished lecturer emeritus from City University of New York. I welcome you to the fifth COVID era edition of Vantage Point here on 99.5 FM. That's 99.5 FM. That's WBAI on the Pacifica Network in collaboration with ycradio.org. That's right. The York College online radio community is connected to this conversation. Well, this is our monthly, we're resuming because we missed last month. Shortly, we'll be hearing from Mayor Roz J. Baraka as we have our monthly State of Newark report. Before we get into that interview, however, just want to once again join with my colleagues, fellow producers across the dial here at WBAI, urging vigilance. Mayor de Blasio, as you've just heard in the news, has had to target several neighborhoods because of the uptick in the in the virus in these neighborhoods. And that's because people have not been following through with the kind of discipline that is required. And that's, you know, we understand it's very difficult, but we hopefully, you know, and it's particularly difficult when you have a lack of leadership and example at the national level. But it will take discipline to get through this, and we need to get through it together. And it's really not about whether, and it's not about you, it's about the ability, your susceptibility or other susceptibility of getting COVID-19 from you, even unwittingly. So if it were just you, we don't want it to happen to you either, but it's about your friends, your neighbors, your family. And this is not some machismo exercise to try to see that, you know, indicating that you won't get it or whatever, nor is it some kind of freedom of speech issue, right? I mean, you don't have the freedom not to buy automobile insurance. You can't holler, scream a fire in a crowded theater according to the First Amendment. So it's not, you don't have unlimited rights, right? And the main thing is just at a human level, let's just take care of each other. Secondly, have to continue to pound. In fact, I'll be asking Mayor Baraka about this. The whole question of the census. I mistakenly said last week that it would end, I think maybe I said October the 6th, which would have been up tomorrow. We know that the Trump administration was trying to end it prematurely, the Secretary of Commerce, but the court has ruled he cannot do that. That the census must roll on. And again, when people don't want you to do something, you need to take notice, because that means that there's a certain class of people who are trying to exclude others. And in this instance, it'd be us. So, hey, black and brown, minorities, red, yellow, working class people, sign up for the census. Immigrants. You know, I mean, they know they got all the information on you anyway. So, but we want to be counted so that when resources are needed in our community, those resources can, in fact, flow. Also, there's still, I guess, time to register to vote in the state of New York. Unfortunately, I failed to look up the date. I think it's the deadline, however, is coming up shortly. Early voting will begin on October 24th. So you don't necessarily have to mail your ballot in if you want to go in person. You can go, it'll last for several weeks, so you can go early. That way you don't have to stand in line on election day. Excuse me. You don't have to do that on election day. And voting matters. You know, you in Texas, the governor of Texas is reducing the number of drop-off ballot locations to one per county. So for the whole city of Houston, Texas, just one. Other states are reducing the number of days for early voting. I'm telling you, folks, when people are trying to stop you from doing something, it's for a reason. We'll talk about election have consequences when I get up on the soapbox later. To the Community Cares Listening Line, we need that Community Cares Listening Line now more than ever before. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of angst. There's a lot of tension in the community. And so we need you to This is a line that's been put forth by the Black Family Summit of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century. It's being supported by in a partnership with WBAI. Hopefully the PSAs are still running, because we want to inform people about this so that you're in a position to actually call if you have anxiety. It's a lot of stuff that's going on out there in terms of child abuse, domestic abuse, suicidal tendencies. And just wanted to talk to somebody, because this crisis is so deep and there's so many angles to it. And so we really, really want to encourage you to call that listening line and spread the word about it for anybody who is feeling depressed or who wants to get culturally appropriate. Culturally appropriate means people who know us, know how to handle us, know how to talk like we talk, understand our predicament, and do it from a scientifically trained basis. Psychiatrists, psychologists, social workers are all involved in this project. 877-877-719-1117. 877-719-1117 is the number that you should call. That is the Community Cares, and I like that. Community Cares. That's what we talked about at the beginning. We need to care about each other. I mean, you know, this is basically that. It has nothing to do with race, politics at one level, none of that. It's about human beings caring for human beings. It just so happens in this particular instance, as it relates to the COVID pandemic, that it is Black and brown people who are being decimated, and red people for that matter, just being decimated by this crisis. So we really, really need you to pay attention and be involved and helping to reach out to neighbors and friends. But let people know about the Community Cares listening line, 877-719-1117. There will be people there to hear what it is that you are having difficulties with, and will help you and make references and referrals. Other thing, this whole crisis around the schools, what to do, homeschooling, not the homeschool. I mean, all of these issues are also issues which you can get help from on the listening line. Well, we're anticipating the mayor will join us shortly. He has yet to do so. But when he does, we will start our monthly interview with Mayor Raz J. Baraka. I always want to say Raz, and it's not Raz, it's Raz, and I get myself corrected on that. A lot of things to talk to him about. Newark, we asked him to be on because the Institute of the Black World 21st Century, as many of you know, has been focused on Newark. That's what we call a model city because of the bold, progressive, visionary policies that have been articulated and implemented by Mayor Raz J. Baraka, the son of Emiri, the legendary, iconic Amamu Emiri Baraka. And so he is doing, I think, a fabulous job. And we in the Institute of the Black World 21st Century, by the way, will be hosting, or Mayor Raz J. Baraka will be hosting, the first major conversation assessment of the presidential election. And that'll take place on Thursday, November the 5th, 7 o'clock at the 10 o'clock. 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. It'll be a virtual event, and because we can't meet in person, this is when we would have been having the State of the Black World Conference number 5, but this will be a kind of segue. Danny Glover will be a special guest. We have all of the major civil rights leaders, or many of them, lined up. Mark Morial, president of the Urban League, is in. Derek Johnson, president of the NAC, is involved. He's in. Reverend Jesse Jackson has been invited. If not he, it will be Benjamin Tardieri will be the vice president, will be involved. And we have the National Congress of Black Women. We have the Transformative Justice Coalition. We have the National Coalition of Black Civic Participation. All of these organizations will be involved. And, of course, we will also have none other than Larry Hamm, the longtime chairman of the People's Organization for Progress, POP, will be involved, as will be Frederica Bay, who is the founder, of course, of Women in Support of the Million Man March. In fact, I understand we're coming up. There's going to be a commemoration of the 25th anniversary of the Million Man March that will be coming in, will be taking place very shortly. So all of those things are incredibly important. for us to stay tuned to as we move forward. So again, we're waiting for the mayor to call in to our guest line. No doubt he is busy taking on a number of things, so hopefully he'll be calling us momentarily. And let me just say, as later on in the show, we will be up on the soapbox, really inviting you to call to share your perspectives on a number of questions. The quest for reparations now will be one of the topics. Biden versus Agent Orange, my words, round one that relates to the which relates to the debate that just took place, but also the current circumstances. And elections have consequences. We'll be talking about these subjects later on, and you'll have an opportunity to call in. But in that regard, it has just been announced, just breaking news, that Kelly McEnany, the arrogant press secretary, and all of them have been arrogant for the orange man, and just defiantly speaking to the press, no mask on, breathing on them. I mean, just risking folks, right? She and two of her aides have now come down with COVID-19. And there's another person, I guess, that was at the spreader event, this jubilant celebration. Ruth Bader Ginsburg was not even cold yet. I mean, she was not even in the, I mean, she hadn't even, I mean, they couldn't even give her the decency of a week or a few days before there was this mad scramble to put in a right wing, a very ultra conservative judge to advance their agenda. It has nothing to do with the person. This woman may be a fine human being. That has nothing to do with it. We're talking about ideology here, not personalities. And so they had this great celebratory event on the lawn of the White House, and they were all, including former Governor Christie, they was glad bagging and slapping backs and talking smack and hugging each other and rubbing each other, and no masks or very few masks. I mean, just arrogantly defying the science. And now this seems to have turned out to be a spreader event. Every day somebody else is coming down, and of course Agent Orange himself has come down with the virus, and his wife. And again, obviously, we join in wishing that no one, dies from this, because enough people have already died. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people who needlessly have died because of the reckless arrogance of this administration. I mean, it's utterly ridiculous. So that's the other reason why we want to be disciplined and whatnot. But we need to focus on these questions because it means that we have to talk about what change will look like. And again, we don't wish any harm to anyone. But there is a saying in the Black community among the old folks. They do say, God do not like ugly. God do not like ugly. And we're now seeing that people have been so arrogant have now come down with this virus. So it's unfortunate. That's unfortunate. But nothing more unfortunate and tragic than thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people who have died because of political malfeasance. It's criminal what has transpired. I now understand we have our beloved mayor, Raz J. Baraka, on, and forgive me for emphasizing, because I've said for so long, I just say Raz, and that's not the right terminology, but I hope you'll forgive me. Mayor Raz J. Baraka, welcome to Vantage Point.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
How are you?
Mayor Baraka, you're on the air.
Yes, how are you?
I'm doing fine. We were just waiting for you to connect. So forgive my rant a little bit there, but I'm a little agitated by some of the things that I see, but not agitated to have you on because of the kind of visionary and bold things you're doing in Mayor in Newark. Before we get into a number of the other substantive issues, just want you to give us an update on what's happening with COVID in terms of how residents are responding in Newark. The mayor of New York has had to shut down several districts because of people beginning to be somewhat undisciplined. So I would be remiss in my responsibility if I didn't ask you first and foremost, how are residents responding to the pandemic in terms of the policies and programs that have been put forth in Newark.
So for the most part, most of the people are doing what they're supposed to do. There are a few, obviously, folks who are going to continue to do what they want to do. A couple of restaurants and other places are doing things they shouldn't. But, you know, we witnessed a kind of small uptick. We're still relatively low in the city of Newark, so we are happy about that. We're going to continue to go back to do some things that we used to do around Be Still Monday. We're going to go back to that next Monday. But we think that that should be able to handle it and just start doing some inspections and checks on places that are insisted on having parties at late at night and all these other things, these restaurants and bars. But other than that, most of us have been holding the line.
All right, holding the line. I appreciate that phrase, holding the line. And I've been pushing that, you know, at the beginning of every program, the need for shared values, the need for us to take care of each other, to, you know, just care for each other as human beings. It's not about me. It's about we, us, and ours. So it's incredibly important. Mayor Baraka, you recently announced a bold initiative called the 40 Acres and a Mule Fund. Very exciting. What's the goal of this initiative? Who's involved? And you know, how will it work?
Well, we're trying to raise $100 million for this fund for Black and Latinx businesses in the city. And we're going to expand it throughout the state soon. By the first quarter, we want to raise at least $10 million. We're going after CRA investment funds that banks have to automatically invest in. A lot of them don't do it. We're going to hold their feet to the fire and get them to invest. And for corporate, you know, these businesses around the city that are making billions of dollars to invest here in Black and brown businesses, so one, they can sustain themselves, expand, grow, invite other businesses to the city of Newark. I mean, the wealth gap in New Jersey is so gross. It's probably one of the highest in the nation. And, you know, without being untouched, it'll take over 300 years to close it. We're trying to expedite that, obviously, by creating this fund. We don't believe that it'll go away right away, but we think because of that, that it is the impetus for these businesses and other folks to donate to help these businesses out here in the city of Newark. And pass generational wealth and equity down from to families.
Well, I noticed that this is a moment of inflection. You pointed out that Black Lives Matter is not a slogan; it is a call to action. And I think that people appreciate that because some people do see it perhaps as a slogan, though I think most people are beginning to understand, hopefully, that we have to deal with questions of systemic institutional racism and its cross-generational impact, you know, on, right, on our communities. And so what has been the response so far in terms of the corporate community?
Well, people are interested. You know, they know the moment calls for it. And, you know, they are at least verbally optimistic about, you know, the fund. We just trying to get them to put their money where their mouth is, you know. I mean, it's easy to say Black Lives Matter. Is another thing to actually act like Black Lives Matter.
Right. And so I see, too, that there will be an advisory board that will kind of, you know, give credibility to the whole effort. It's extremely well put together. I noticed that Randall Pinkett, I won't give that formal association, but I happen to know him from Fraser Nation that I'm associated with. Power Networking Conference and so forth. But I see a number of institutions and leaders who are going to be kind of advising on this initiative.
Yeah, we reached out to a lot of African-American and Latinx, individuals that's in the corporate world that's sitting on these boards that's doing different things like that to get them to advise and actually help us put the feet to the fire to some of these folks to raise the dollars that we need, but also to advise us on, you know, how to sustain this fund, raise the dollars, and keep it going.
Well, it is an incredibly powerful initiative, and we in the Institute of the Black World 21st Century, particularly through the National African American Reparations Commission, are monitoring these kinds of initiatives all over the country. And so even before I actually heard of it myself, people were calling me from around the country telling me about it. And so we hope this 40 Acres and a Mule, 40 Acres and a Mule Fund is actually going to be a success. Obviously, it's going to take a lot of hard work, and it's not, you know, just saying it so does not make it so. But as you indicated, people will have to work to make it a reality. This coming Wednesday, you're going to be issuing your State of the City report, and there seems to be a tremendous amount to report on. So can you give our audience maybe just a little preview, a little glimpse of what might be in your State of Newark report? Where will it be, by the way? And I guess it's going to be in person or virtual, and so, and how do people access it?
No, it's going to be virtual. You can go to the city's website, Facebook page, and you can get it'll be on NJPAC's website, our website. It'll be, you know, broadcasted on Channel 78. So you'll be able to see it. It's all virtual for the most part. And, you know, you really have to watch it to, you know, to get it. It's, we're going to be talking about everything from development to COVID to the presidential election to, you know, everything that we're dealing with now. So I would advise people to come check it out.
Right. I noticed that you've talked in the press release on the fund about the number of jobs that have been created, and I assume it's going to be a pretty forward-looking report, because your administration, you know, just from outside looking in, has achieved so much. And I do hope people will tune in to hear and listen, because you also have stressed a great deal participation. You really operationalized, and I will never forget this, the whole notion that when I become mayor, we become mayor. You have really, really worked to operationalize that notion. So it's participatory. And when I say these things, I say them because as a theoretician and practitioner of what I call the new black politics over the years, these are ideas that I have pushed and therefore find quite favorable. Mayor, I have to ask you, hate to ask you again, but I just have to, because, you know, we still have people lagging on it. Why is the census important, and why do people need to get down and get it done?
Well, I mean, you know, historically, we've been left out of the process. People need to understand that when we were considered 3/5 in Plessy versus, Dred Scott, we were considered 3/5. It was enough so planters and slave owners could benefit from representation and revenue, keeping us as property, but also counting us so they could have some political and economic power. This is our turn, you know, not to be relegated to 3/5 again. We're undercounted. We allow ourselves to be relegated to 3/5. That's why the president was trying to make it in early. By the grace of God, it's back to October the 31st. For everything from school lunch to SNAP benefits for women and children to Section 8 for housing and homelessness and all of the programs that are entitlement dollars that any city gets based on their population. So if you have 100 kids in the school and only 50 families fill out the census, you're going to get money for 50 people but have to use it for 100. And that's basically why we always starving for one of the reasons why we always starving for funding in our cities. And then there's also the representation. You know, you don't get full representation in D.C. if you're not counted properly. You know, they take away seats. They take away your voice down in D.C. So it's important to fill it out so we can have political representation and some economic opportunity as well to help us in difficult times like the one we're in now.
Right. These analogies are so good, the 3/5 analogy. And the fact that, you know, like I know over in New York, that New York is in danger potentially of losing a congressional seat. I mean, it's a lot. And, you know, it's you know, I don't really in some way blame the people, because there's fear of, you know, particularly among immigrants, because people are being harassed and hounded. And we don't have civics in high school and all of that anymore to keep us abreast. But we still just have to do the best we can. IBW is supporting and working along with the National Urban League and a number of other organizations, putting on a final push, you know, to try to get as many people as possible to get signed up for the census, because we need those dollars in our community. Absolutely need them.
Yep.
So, Mayor, this is finally, I know you're going to talk about this in your State of Newark address. I have to, you know, pound on this a great deal in this on my this radio show because of, you know, I've said elections have consequences, and some people maybe don't quite grasp that. So I just wonder whether you would just share with our listening audience, you know, we have this election that's coming up. Some people are saying it's the one of the most consequential in the last half century, maybe the last century. And so what's at stake? I mean, what should our viewing and listening audience, and, you know, we have a highly sophisticated, politically conscious audience on WBAI, that may be a blessing or maybe a curse. I don't know. I'm saying that somewhat lightheartedly, but, you know, we get lots of really heavy political discussion going on about these elections. So from your perspective, what's at stake in this current, this upcoming presidential election?
Well, everybody can see what's going on. It's very clear to me what's happening. And people should understand, like, you're not electing a revolutionary or radical person to the United States of America in this environment and this system. You're electing somebody that obviously would make it easier for you to do the organizing and pushing that you need to do in your neighborhoods and your community. But that's an important thing. I mean, you people believe that the more people are beaten, the more they want to organize. And that's just not factual. It's not scientific. The more people are beat down, the more hopeless that they feel, and the inability to get up and do something about their plight. It's important to have small victories and small wins for communities and families, and then tie in all the things that we need to do collectively and continue to push. Because if you push hard and these people, there's this kind of backlash that we get all of the time, people begin to think that there is no use of participating at all, right? And they get comfortable with the state that we're in. And we can't allow, obviously that to happen. I made an analogy before, like when I was young, my mother put on the shopping list, go get me some, bring back some Raisin Bran, some Kellogg's Raisin Bran. And you go to the store and they don't have Kellogg's and you come back with nothing. And your mother said, boy, you better go back to the store and bring something back here or you're not going to get breakfast tomorrow. Right? And so the idea is they might not have exactly what you want, but we still got to eat. Right? And right. so at the end of the day, we can't starve. And we have to have some sustenance to give us the energy to fight at the level that we need to fight at. And, you know, obviously, Biden is not, we're not cheerleaders at the Biden camp or believe that he's going to solve all our problems, but he's damn sure better than where we are. And it's important for us to understand that the struggle is protracted, and we have to take steps forward and not be resigned to going backwards.
Mm, absolutely. And I keep telling people, this is just anecdotal. It ain't scientific, but in Houston, and in Texas, and all across the country, but you know this most glaring example, the Governor Abbott of Texas just decreed that there can only be one postal drop-off site for every county in Texas, which means Houston, Texas, man, is like, it's just almost as big as some state. I mean, and so you got one. I mean, so when people are trying to stop you from doing something, I mean, it ain't scientific, but you might want to just check it out because they're doing it for a reason. Yep. You know, it's after, so after in conclusion, Mayor, I just want to go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to, I know you have to go and we're right up against our time limit. I just wanted to also just publicly thank you because, we're promoting Newark all the time. So you're going to be hosting the very first major conversation, the major assessment after the election. Danny Glover is going to be a special guest. We got several of the major civil rights leaders all lined up. And of course, we are delighted to be obviously convened by the Institute of the Black World 21st Century, but we wanted it to be in Newark. We will eventually have a on-site State of the Black World conference. We can't do it now, but we're going to keep building towards it. So we just thank you so much for hosting it. And it is going to be a powerful analysis immediately after the election, November 5th. And we thank you so much for hosting it.
You got it, brother. Thank you.
All right. Mayor Raz J. Baraka, he is, in my judgment, my opinion, the most progressive African-American, and I would say, frankly, the most progressive mayor in these United States of America. And the city of Newark is blessed to have him. And of course, not just him, the amazing team that he's put around him, and he's training, he's orienting, tutoring people, mentoring people. I mean, we've never seen recently a mayoral administration like this. I would say, obviously, we are very, very excited about what's going on in Jackson, Mississippi as well, with Antar Chokwe Mumumba, and there are some others, our brother out in Compton, whose name I'm blanking on at the minute, is very progressive as well. But there's only a small circle of these progressive African-American mayors. And I know that Mayor Barack is working with them. We're trying to work with them to try to create a model that others can follow in terms of putting together progressive policies, because you have to engage the people. They cannot do this singularly and by themselves. This is not a heroic individual exercise. It is an exercise that involves all of us. Well, we went up on the soapbox now. We have plenty of time, hopefully, to get calls in. That's from the audience. And the number to call is 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. And I want to really talk about three or four topics. Number one, the quest for reparations now. I want to make you aware that the California State Legislature has just passed a H.R. 40 type bill. H.R. 40 is the bill initially introduced by Congressman John Conyers in 1989 to study whether the Holocaust of enslavement, or the institution of enslavement, and the damages inflicted upon African Americans were warranted reparations. That bill has been changed under the leadership of Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, and with the support of NCOBRA and the National African American Reparations Commission, to a bill that is no longer studying whether reparations are warranted, but in what forms it will take. Dr. Shirley Weber, who I think may be the chair of the Legislative Black Caucus in California, someone that I've known for many years. She's a professor, former professor at, I think, San Diego State University in California, led the charge. And so it is a bipartisan bill, has passed. Governor Gavin Newsom has signed it, and it's going to be operationalized. So they're going to be looking at how to deal with reparations proposals in California, the first state to do so. Don Rojas, our very capable and able director of communications, legendary in his own right, former general manager of WBAI, is just pumping out press releases today on the IBW website. And that one is one that you can go and read about right now on the IBW website, talking about that particular initiative. It's called California Governor Signs Reparations Bill into Law. The other thing that is happening, of course, some of you may be aware that Evanston, Illinois, the National African American Reparations Committee, is working with local communities. So we have certified Evanston, Illinois, as a model for local reparations initiatives. Not everything that is about equity, not everything that is about helping Black and brown communities is reparations. It may be good public policy, and we certainly encourage that. But reparations has a certain specificity of definition in terms of criteria, values, and whatnot. And Evanston, Illinois meets that. We're also launching a project in Elaine, Arkansas. We all, not everybody, but we kind of know about Tulsa, destruction of Black Wall Street. In that period, in around 1919 through 1921, all in there, our people were just being bludgeoned and massacre after massacre after massacre. By the way, you can call 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877, talking now about the quest for reparations now. Elaine, Arkansas, in 1919, suffered a massacre of hundreds of Black people, destruction of farms and property, lynching of people. And so we are working now with a group called the Fund for Reparations Now. This is a group of white anti-racist progressives who have united with the National African American Reparations Commission to create a specific fund to fund reparations proposals now. and having white progressives actually looking at a contribution that has just come in for the Fund for Reparations Now, a person who is a Harriet Tubman contributor who has agreed to pay $400 a month towards this fund. And we're going to be helping, working with the local people in that community with donations coming from progressive whites to provide a museum, some excavation of mass graves so that we can identify remains that people believe are in mass graves, but mostly preserving memory and building out economic programs and so forth, and also challenging both Elaine, Arkansas, and the state to be involved in a reparatory and justice initiative. So I just want to make you aware of this kind of work. And you can also go to the IBW website. That press release has just been released today. 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. You can call to talk about that. Also, Biden versus the Orange, or Agent Orange. I call him Agent Orange. That's Spike Lee's term. Agent Orange. Round one. What did you think about that? Well, probably, I think most people thought it was obscene. I mean, the way that, you know, the orange man behaved. But we now see that, you know, again, that ugly behavior sometimes comes back to bite you. But I'd be interested in getting your comments on what impact will that debate have? It was one of the most extraordinary, I mean, in an ugly sense, thing that I've ever seen. It was just, it was unbelievable. But also the behavior, the arrogance to talk about Joe Biden wearing a big mask, the family defying the rules of the Cleveland Clinic and deciding that, you know, they would not wear masks. That kind of thing. I mean, this is utterly, utterly, utterly unbelievable. So we're on the soapbox. You have an opportunity to call now, 212-209-2877, to talk about these or our related issues. Again, the first topic, the quest for reparations now. And then, you know, one of my favorite topics is related to that. Elections have consequences. We talked to Mayor Raj J. Baraka about that. Elections have consequences. And I'm just wondering whether people are fired up or whether they're lukewarm or whether they just don't care or don't think it matters. I mean, call us. Let us know what you think about these issues. 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. In the meantime, also, we need the ability to keep this kind of programming going. I'm delighted to be able to have a State of Newark report by Mayor Raj J. Baraka, the first of every month. He's committed to doing that here, right here on WBAI. And so that's important because, you know, the policies that he's promoting are potentially those kinds of policies that will help to inspire and encourage other mayors in the region and across the country to do likewise. And of course, we have a focus again through the Institute of the Black World 21st Century on that city for that reason. But there are other kinds of things that also are discussed. The Community Cares Listening Line that we talked about earlier, the town hall meeting that'll be coming up on November 5th. Already WPFW say they're going to carry it live. I would assume probably there's a likelihood that WBAI will do likewise. The first national discussion and assessment of the election, we hope, will be carried here on WBAI. So the important thing I'm driving at is we need to preserve this. There was an effort to just take WBAI out, to neutralize it. Not only to neutralize it, to decimate it. And people rallied to prevent that from happening. But we need to continue to rally in order to maintain this fortress of resistance and transformation, because it's not just about what we are against, it's what we are fighting for. And that's why we talk about having WBAI buddies. WBAI buddies are those persons in our listening audience who may be able to afford it, who can, you know, can give a minimum of $10 a month, $120 a year, as sustaining contributors to what we do here at WBAI. It makes it, and if we could just literally sign up an army of these contributors, it would make life so much better for the management in terms of being able to have less funding drives. Already, there's an experiment which we hope is working out, where instead of just doing nonstop fundraising for a whole month or 4 weeks or 5 weeks or whatever, it's being spread out, you know, throughout various shows across the dial. I mean, I hope people appreciate that. And I hope you respond, therefore, by sacrificing. If you've already given, sacrifice and give more. If you have not, and you've been listening to WBAI and soaking up all this great information, you know, make a decision that you can support, that you are the listener we've been waiting for to help build out the capacity of this great radio station. There are no corporate donations. There's nobody coming to rescue WBAI. We are the base. This is community listener sponsored radio. So I hope you will go to give2wbai.org, give2wbai.org, and sign up to be a WBAI buddy today. Please do that. Please do that. I don't make me do James Brown, please. But I will if necessary. All right, 212-209-2877. We're talking about reparations now. We're talking about Biden versus the Orange Man and that debate or debacle, however you want to see it. How will it influence the vote? Did it energize you? Has what you've seen energized you? The madness. We don't want anyone to be harmed, but so many people have already been harmed by this madness. This Agent Orange, what is your sentiments about that? And that connects to the whole question of elections matter. They are trying to jam through right now. Their plans are being compromised by the COVID. The event that they held, there are two senators on the Judiciary Committee who now have COVID. And their whole plan is being jammed up because of their reckless behavior. But we want to get your opinion, so we're going to go right to our listening audience. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Yes. Hi.
How are you this afternoon?
I'm good. And you? This is Lisa from Westchester.
Yes.
And I am a buddy to three programs. And I do want to say that I'm hoping that they bring back, even though they cut it off before it even got started, Wake Up Call on Friday nights. I'm waiting for them to do that. It's not fair. We've been waiting. We've been patient. We've been loyal. They can't keep cutting the programs that we so desire and want off because it's not appealing to certain people in the station. That's one. Secondly, totally am not interested in Biden and Kamala. They can go ahead. How do you justify voting for someone who after this pandemic says he's going to veto Medicare for All if it comes across his desk? And as we could have expected, as soon as he was pushed just a little bit at that dumb debate, when Trump said, he doesn't support defund the police, what did he say right away? Oh, I don't support defund the police. I'm not for that. Through everybody who's saying that they're going to vote for him, NBA guys are standing up for justice, and they're going to vote for him, and he threw us under the bus as soon as he got that chance, and that's what he's going to continue to do. That's what the Democratic Party does. So I'll never vote for those people.
Let me ask you a question. Is having Obamacare with a public option better than having nothing?
It's not better than having nothing. But the whole thing, and they could say...
Well, no. Let's just qualify that whole question, right?
Uh-huh.
You're talking about someone who can be elected if you do not participate and others don't participate, who is interested in taking away the Obamacare with the public option, which is what Biden is saying, which is not Medicare for All, which is what I support, but nonetheless... Right. We're paying zero sum, that it's either all of what I want or I am willing to see literally millions of people with pre-existing conditions taken out because I don't get the particular policy I want.
So you have to understand that we've been settling for these crumbs forever, and it's not me getting the
Obamacare that put literally 20 million crumbs. These people are crumbs. 20 million people who didn't have health insurance now have it. That's considered crumbs.
I call it
that's
crumbs
not crumbs. And the life of average, ordinary people who are not dealing with mechanistic, ideological propositions, they need health care. They got
Hold
it.
Hold on a second. I call it crumbs because I'm one of those people who don't fit in there and can't get the insurance that I would like to have and pay for. Or I'm paying for a lot of insurance and getting no coverage. So it's crumbs. I am one of those people. It's
all right, so
at the point where we have a Donald Trump and we can't continue with the same formula. We have
all right, so what you're saying though, rather than fight to push to add to the existing insurance, you'd rather just let the orange man be reelected and therefore start from scratch. I mean, is that your position?
I would rather understand where we are and change things for good, because otherwise we're going to continue to just keep having this. Orange man just got here yesterday. This system has been a wreck for a long time. Yesterday's orange man due diligence, he said something the other day that was really right. How come Obama didn't fill all of those judge positions? We don't ever want to look at that. See, they get in there and they waste no time. He went in there, he filled them in with all his derelicts. What did Obama do? When he had the time to go and elect somebody for the Supreme Court, he went and got somebody who was really moderate so they could vote for him. Guess what? They didn't give a hoot. They didn't even let him get a vote. What do they do? When they have time to go for the Supreme Court, they know it's tough right now. What do
they
do?
Well, no. All of the people Obama have put into place are part of the liberal minority on the court. I'm sorry. Anyway, I hear your perspective. Let's move on to our next caller. That's a very clear position. Let's take our next caller. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good. Okay. So basically, I voted. I fought like mad for Bernie Sanders for the primary, but where we are now, we're stuck with voting for Biden because you're right. The orange man is beyond usual. Evil. It's important for folks to realize that we are not going to have results on November 3rd. We're not going to have results for quite a while, and despite what the orange man says, he didn't win. You know, it's not won until every vote is counted.
All right. Okay, got your perspective. Others can call at 212-209 2877-212-209-2877. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How you doing? I would just like to make two comments. One is in regards to reparation. You was mentioning reparation. I'm an immigrant, and I'm hearing about reparation. I'm not a direct descendant of enslavement in America. And I would like to know how would that go about? Like, how would they... If this goes through, which I feel like America can afford but choose not to, but if it does go through that we do have reparation for the black community, how will it be allocated? And the second thing is not more of a question, it's more like a statement. I know many people, I'm in social work, I'm not somebody that would like to wish bad or anything on anyone, but I feel like the fact that the orange man contracted this virus, it is actually very helpful to the American people because his denial is hurting a lot of people. If to me, I believe in the sacrifice of one for the greater good of others. So if it means I don't want him to die, I don't wish death on anybody. But if it means for him to go on a ventilator or for him to contract this, for him to realize and stand behind and defend the American people and let them know, like, look, this is a problem and protect yourself. And to protect other people, then I'm all for him catching whatever he needs to catch.
Well, let me just comment on the latter point first. That's why, you know, I started by saying if you talk to people of, you know, and I would count myself as an elder in the Black community, what we used to say back, what we would say is, God do not like ugly, and you act in a certain way. And here, one of the things that's clear is that his lack of modeling good behavior. And that's another example, whether you like it or doesn't. I mean, Biden has consistently wore a mask. Kamala's wore a mask, consistently tried to get people to do the right thing, campaigning in a certain way and all of that. I mean, the behavior of the orange man has been absolutely criminal. And so it is like a kind of justice that now it's a pox upon your house, because that spreader event that they had with the Supreme Court justice, all these people are coming down with it, showing that it you're not vulnerable. Your arrogance will not stop you from getting this virus. But guess what's happening? You had somebody on Fox News this afternoon saying the fact that Trump got the virus makes him more qualified than Biden, because now he has experienced it. And so therefore he'll know how to handle it better. Biden hasn't experienced it. So, I mean, can you imagine the madness? I mean, it's incredible the kind of madness that's going on. So if for no other reason than to get rid of that, you know, we ought to be marching on ballot box. Okay, we got a couple more callers we can get in. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Hi, this is
how are you?
From the Bronx. This is Mickey.
Yes.
Hi, my brother. I wanted to help you with the date of, and I am fired up, by the way, very fired up. I'm working the election. So I want to tell people, get out there early, because in New York we could do it. We have 10, 11 days to do it. And I wanted to help you with the date of registration. The last date is October 9th.
Okay, coming right up in about 4 days, yeah.
And if you want to amend it, it's October 14th, but you have to be registered before. So what I wanted to say is, not only am I fired up, he's deranged, derelict, deranged, deficit, divisive, and dangerous. We should all be fired up. It doesn't matter, Republican or Democrat, doesn't matter anymore. It's gotten so derailed, everything, and he's a man who doesn't want regulations. Even before he got there, regulations that protect everybody. And Obama, by the way, yes, he had his faults, but he also had these those institutions which Trump disbanded that helped during a pandemic. You know what I'm talking about, Ron, right?
Oh, yes, that's right. That's
he disbanded
right.
all those things even before the pandemic, you know, and turning his back. I mean, this guy, I'm glad you mentioned criminal and you underline it, because this is no longer, you know, people want to say, he's crazy, and that makes it sound far away and doesn't give it the, you know, the highlight that it should have, the seriousness of it. This guy is criminal, definitely.
That's right,
criminal.
Absolutely.
And I wanted to say, look what he did to Puerto Rico. He doesn't care about people suffering. The lying before even the pandemic, it's not even about catching him on tape. And look how he comes out now. I'm a warrior. I mean, I'm sorry to say, someone who's sick in the head, but not sick that he shouldn't be accountable. Well, he's a narcissist.
Well, look, I got to go. I'm actually out of time, but I appreciate your perspective. I'm glad you're fired up. Look, folks, we're at the end of our time. This is Vantage Point. Don't forget to become a WBAI buddy. Go to give2wbai.org. We're going to continue this conversation, actually, about elections matter. And we're glad we got the information out there to everybody about October 9th is the deadline to register here in the state of New York. Get your census done October 24th. You can begin to do early voting. I'm hoping you will vote and get out there and fight for change. Because I think eradicating certain kinds of things are important. All right, we'll see you again next week here on Vantage Point. Smiles in the making.